All the time he was talking, MacTallan had been advancing. With the speed of a whipcrack, he suddenly hurled himself into the crows. In the melee that followed, four crows were stretched out by the deadly beak and raking talons of the laird. The other crows took to the air in an awkward flurry. They were met by the five falcon warriors, who hit them like thunderbolts. Baby Dumble was awake. He sat on Thrug's shoulders, wide-eyed as crows fell from the sky like tattered scraps of dark cloth. Eventually, the crows made it back to the safety of the pine thicket. They crouched among the trees as the six falcons circled in a warlike aerial display. Between the stream bed and the trees, crows, dead and injured, littered the ground like discarded rags. Thrug and Dumble cheered wildly, but Rock Angus perched miserably on the haversack, muttering away,
"Ach, 'tis a sad thing to be stuck at here on the ground. By my eggshell, it is. Missing out on a scrap the like of that."
Landing back in the stream bed with his clan members, the laird contracted and dilated his big golden-flecked eyes as he preened his wing feathers delicately.
"I wished you could fly, Frog. Battling in the skies is a grand thing, sure enough. Och, the wee Dumble is awake and all. How are ye, bairn?"
Dumble offered his paw.
"Pleased to meet you, mister."
The rest of the night, they spent sleeping in the fragrant heather that grew along the far stream bank, safely surrounded by the six falcons. Next morning, they were on their way again, trekking northeast. Thrug raised his head and saw the snow-capped mountains far off, pushing their peaks up at the high blue summer skies. Rock Angus flapped his good wing.
"Luca, 'tis a braw sight. Did you ever see stones piled so high that winter snow stays atop of them in summer, Dumble?"
The little dormouse nibbled on a candied chestnut.
"I never seed mountings with snow. Going to play in it when us gets there, eh, Rock Angus?"
Snow would have been of great use to cool fevered brows in Redwall Abbey at that moment. Mrs. Faith Spinney carried up a pail of spring water that had been left in the cellars to stay cold overnight. Trudging up the stairs, she stood to one side as Formole and two of his crew lugged down a large basket, bumping it on each stair. The Formole tugged his snout respectfully to her.
"'Scuse I, ma'am, but us'n's be going to do e washing in e pond. Boy, okey, I never did see so much dirty washing in my whole life. These yer digging clothes ain't been so clean since my mummy used to scrub 'em for I when I was a infant."
Faith patted their velvety backs.
"Bless you all, you're so kind."
Abbess Vale was up to her paws in oatmeal. She mopped it up from the floor and set the bowl upright. Brother Hollyberry tried to help her, stammering apologetically.
"I'm sorry, Vale, it was all my fault. The old paws started shivering and I couldn't stop them. Here, let me clean it up."
Fergal the Hermit approached with a ladle full of dark liquid.
"Looks like you're coming down with a touch of droidish fever too, me friend. Here, get this down you."
Hollyberry took it and pulled a wry face. Droony, the little mole, watched him and gave a weak smile.
"Now you knows what your own medicine tastes like."
Thrugan bustled in and plonked down a large bunch of fresh herbs on the table. Seeing Hollyberry and Abbess Vale struggling to clean up the oatmeal, she hauled them both up and sat them down on the edge of Droony's bed.
"Look at the mess of you two. Let me do that. There's more motherwort, nightshade and dock leaves, though I'm having to travel farther afield to get 'em now. Oh, well, press on and never weaken. That's an automata."
Tud Spinney sat up on the bedside and found his walking stick.
"Do you know, I do feel a little better this morning. Perhaps I can get up today and be of some help around and about here."
He began to stand upright, but was pushed back down by his wife as she passed carrying the pail of cold water.
"If you wants to do anything, my old dear, then you just lie still there and stay out of the way. Land sakes, there's enough to do without tripping over you all day."
Bremen poked his nose over the bedsheet surrounding his face.
"Bah! I'm weak as a brown leaf and fed up lying about. I wonder how Thrug and little Dumble are going on with their search for those ice-tor flowers."
Sister Nasturtium was so ill, she could not raise her head. She waved a limp paw at Bremen.
I dreamed of Throg and Dumble last night. Throg was sad. Sad for Dumble and another young one. Threatening horrid shapes like dark birds. But warriors will help Throg. Warriors. Martin said so.
What was that you said, Sister Nasturtium?
Bremen sat up with an effort. Faith Spinney plumped the pillows and pressed him back down.
Hush now, she's asleep. Probably just talking to herself, poor thing. That nasty old dry ditch sickness has hit her worse than any of us.
This ends Disc 6.